Welcome back to Spirit Squared. I'm Andrew Darrington, your host. Tonight, we're here at the Beckham Hotel in Mineola, Texas. Thanks so much for Sarah and Chris for them to let us come back to where we started. It's so much fun filming here. It's just like home, and I love it here. More than likely, you're going to hear a train or two in the background, and we love that too. It just makes it nostalgic. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors. We've got Red Construction, Rex Consulting. We've got Goosehead Insurance with Ray Plunkett. We've got The Vault. We've got Humidor, Truvine, and we've got Hoot Holler Beverage down in Gun Barrel City. And then we have Stanley's Barbecue. Man, mother clucker, you got to get that. I mean, they're so good. And they started breakfast here recently. You got to go get some breakfast. It's pretty good. Thank you guys for being sponsors of ours. Thank you for seeing our vision. Thank you for supporting what we're doing. We're trying to glorify entrepreneurs, nonprofits, and the folks that are making a difference locally. Thank you so much for seeing what we're doing and supporting what we're doing. And without further ado, thank you for the drink, Miss Laura Satterwhite. Yes. Right? Is that she
the
is
longest
the
longest last name in the world?
Right. Not so much. I don't
it's
know about
long.
That. I'm Darrington. It's pretty long.
I better.
But you are the founder and CEO of Artistry Inc. and the Beauty Bar in Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited. We've exchanged like a ton of text messages, mm-hmm. and I saw you shared the post of like you coming on to the podcast and how excited you were. So I'm so excited to hear your story. And let's talk a little bit about growing up. Like, where did you grow up and how did you end up in Tyler?
So I was born in Houston. My mom went to Robert E. Lee and my dad, and his family was from Houston. They got pregnant really young with my older brother, and moved back near his family in Houston. I lived there till I was four. My dad, passed away when I was four. He had pancreatic cancer.
Oh, wow.
He was one of like the youngest people possibly in history. I don't know. He was 19 when he was diagnosed. So it was like really crazy for that to have happened. But he was given 2 years to live, like, you know, mostly anyone who is diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. Usually you get it when you're like 60 and you get a couple of years to live.
Right.
And they really hadn't seen people 19 getting it. He lived for 7 years, and in between then, they got pregnant with me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he passed away when I was four, and then after all of that, my mom wanted to be closer to her family. We came back here, and I've been here ever since.
Right.
I grew up in Bullard. I went to Bullard from first grade until senior year.
Okay, so pretty complete,
all the years,
you know,
yeah.
growing up.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like? Like, my parents are both still alive.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like not having a parent early on?
I don't remember a lot of that.
Four, I mean, there's probably not a lot of recognition other than daddy's not home or whatever.
Yeah.
But later on, did your mom remarry? Or?
She did. She remarried. She was remarried by the time I was five and a half, yeah.
Okay.
They had my little sister when I was eight, my little baby sister,
okay.
Mallory. And then I have an older brother, Jimmy. He's 4.5 years older than me. She's 8 years younger than me.
Okay.
So, I mean, we joke a lot because they didn't have her until I was eight. And so I was like the only girl and the baby for, you know, 8 years.
Right.
And she stole everything from
me.
Yeah,
probably
a
tough
transition. Big, beautiful blue eyes. And so anytime we went to the mall or basically anywhere, they were like, oh my gosh, she's so pretty. And she stole my shine.
Yeah.
But we joke about that all the time. I love my sister. I talk to her at least weekly, and she's a huge part of the success of my business too. So
yeah,
glad that it all went that way.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about your mom. You said she was a big factor in kind of your career path.
Yeah.
She had a nail salon, or she had a booth in a nail salon?
So my aunt and uncle own tanneries. It's been here in Tyler's, I mean, for 50 years.
Yeah.
Maybe 50 something.
Right.
So I grew up in that salon. My mom did nails in like a separate room inside the salon, and she had a full clientele. You know, people come in to her every 2 weeks, and
right.
In the summers I would be there like obviously a little bit bored and trying to play in her little room and just watching her interact with her clients. And I would see how she would like change, you know, not change personalities, but just change, you know, for whoever that person needed her mm-hmm. to be. Mm-hmm. And I really, it's crazy, you know, thinking back and going through all the steps, 'cause I think I got a lot of that, like just inadvertently, like not even realizing it.
Right.
But she was great at that. She still is great at that. She did that till I was 17, and she's a realtor now.
Right.
She's been a realtor. I'm 38 now. She's been a realtor for, 21 years.
Wow.
And she does great. She's really successful. But she's always kind of been more entrepreneur type and never really wanted to do an 8-to-5 or work like a regular job. She's always kind of made – she's just – kind of a go-getter. She gets a lot of things done in a little bit of time, and just I think all the time, like I get my groceries delivered, and I don't know how she did everything she did.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
You know, because I can't even grocery shop, you know, and she did that. There was three of us, and we had extracurriculars, and she somehow did all of that.
Right.
But
the folks that I've interviewed that have been like hairstylists, tattoo artist like yourself,
mm-hmm.
And nail techs.
Yeah.
They're all therapists too, you know? And I think that's what you're telling us is that, you know, they turn into therapists and
friends.
Then they, you know, friends listening to, you know, the gossip or, you know, the venting and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And
you get
sounds
all the
like
juicy
your
drama.
Yeah. Sounds like your mom was turning that light on and you were listening, you know, kind of hearing some of that as
mm-hmm.
well. And that's a trait that is difficult to train.
Yeah.
You kind of have to watch it
sure.
and understand what it is.
Yeah.
How did music get involved at that age? What was it about? Like, you and I have talked probably obviously before this, but you mentioned that music was an influence pretty early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love music. I listen to music all the time, like way more than I watch TV or any of that.
Okay.
I just have to have music in the background or I go crazy. So I've always needed a job that had music, which is not exactly your everyday job.
Sure.
You know, so I learned pretty quickly I didn't want like an everyday job. But yes, I love music. I love anybody who writes their own music. I'll pretty much listen to any genre if they write their own music. And I love all music, really, even if they don't. But those are my favorite artists, the ones that actually are poets as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my mom was a huge influence in that. We were big 90s country fans when I grew up. And then I got into more, alternative style. Like Matchbox 20 was probably like my first alternative band that like, I mean, I just love them still.
For sure.
Yeah. But
Counting Crows for me.
Counting Crows.
So good.
Ooh, round
man.
Here.
Yeah. When he plays the piano, I'm done.
Yes.
That's me.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah.
They're with you.
Yeah.
But I love country. Country is like my roots. And, you know, it's like the stuff people don't like to talk about. They sing about it. And I love that. I love anything that like makes you feel something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're watching your mom do that. You go through
Ooh,
school.
I should say too.
Go ahead.
Me and my mom's favorite song is Fancy.
Oh, really?
If Fancy comes on, Reba McEntire.
Yeah. You're singing karaoke.
We're jamming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
we
your
used
karaoke
to jam
song?
That, like at the top
A lot of people
line.
Say strawberry wine.
Oh, that's the first CD I ever bought.
Okay.
Back in the CD days.
Yeah.
That was my very first one. I was 12. Strawberry wine. My mom and I, though, like still, I mean, my husband makes fun. I wanted to name our daughter Fancy. He would not oblige.
It'd probably be a hard no for me, too.
It was a hard no. I think it's rude. I love the name. It would be cool.
Yeah.
It would be different.
Yeah.
But my kids' names are pretty different, too. But, Fancy was our jam.
Yeah. So you go through high school, and then how do you end up in pathology?
Ooh, long story there. In high school, I did retail.
We got a little time.
So in high school, I did retail. That's where I learned to kind of sell and, mm-hmm. you know, customer service, how to talk to people, how to connect with people. And then I ended up moving to Dallas when I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And
What'd you move to Dallas for?
Just to get out of Tyler and you know, be a grown up.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I did it out of North Louisiana, though.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I didn't want to be far from my mom. I was never one to be like, I'm going to go three states away.
Right.
But, yeah, Dallas sounded fun.
Some space.
And it was fun. I mean,
needed
there's a lot
air.
Of things about it I miss, you know.
Yeah.
But Tyler has really come up as far as restaurants and things to do and all of that. Those are the things I really miss. I do not miss the traffic, like not even a little bit.
Yeah.
But moved to Dallas, ended up managing, I worked for Aldo Shoes. So we actually opened the Aldo Shoes store here in Tyler. That was probably, I was 18. I was a third key. And I ended up staying with that company and working at Aldo Accessories in the Galleria in Dallas, mm-hmm. and got promoted to
fancy.
Yes,
that's
got
fancy.
I mean, fancy. Duh. I got promoted to assistant manager there, and then I mean, by the end of that career, I was running two stores.
Oh wow!
I was a store manager of Aldo Shoes and Aldo Accessories in Plano, and there was one point I literally went 3 weeks without a day off.
Right.
And it was hard, but. Yeah, I ran two teams. I had actually like the least amount of turnover in the whole district, which was crazy.
Yeah. And this was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. I was 20.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just to put a date on it, 2005,
yes.
2006.
18 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ish. And yeah, I did that for a while. Ended up going like, okay, I can't work retail forever. I don't want to work retail forever. What am I going to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
Because I did try college, of course, right out of high school, and it just was like, it didn't feel right. It's really tough as an artistic personality. I'm really good at art. That was the only thing I was really ever like super good at, you know, in school years. And so you go to the counselor and they're like, what do you want to do? What are you good at? What's your interest? And they give you like, okay, you can be an art teacher, you can do hair,
right.
You can be, I don't even remember all of them. Those were the two that I was like, all right, well, those sound cool. Then, you know, my aunt's like, don't do hair, you'll stand on your feet all day. And I mean, it's true. Like she's had two knee replacements, a back surgery. Like
right.
it is hard on your body. But so, you know, I took her advice and I was like, okay, I won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And just decided to, you know, take some time to try to figure out what I wanted to do. I worked at a veterinarian clinic, loved that job. I love animals very, very much. Dogs, cats, like anything I love. And basically from there, decided to go to college at some point. I guess it was around 24.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to college, went back to college. And decided on a career in histology, which is basically kind of like the little worker bees in a pathology lab.
Okay.
Did that for 8 years after that.
So you're in pathology for 8 years at a dermatology clinic?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
That is where I...
And you're not interacting with anybody other than other clinicians?
Yes, I had three doctors that I worked under. Mm-hmm. They were all dermatopathologists.
Were you the only ones doing testing?
Oh, gosh, no.
You had other people that were doing testing, right?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I first, a good half of my career was a little bit more mom and pop style. There was like 100 employees. There was two locations. All the doctors were...
100 employees?
Yeah.
I mean,
between
the
two.
This is in DFW?
No. By that time, I'd already moved back to Tyler. Sorry,
I skipped
that.
So you had 100 employees in Tyler?
Yeah, so Dermatology Associates of Tyler is where I worked.
Okay.
And
I didn't realize it was that big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They started out with just one location, then they expanded to two, and between the two locations, and they had some satellite locations, between the two was, 100 employees. But it was very mom and pop. Like, we felt really happy. All the doctors loved us. We felt like family. We did really cool contests. We did spooky food contests at Halloween, and I always won first place.
Yay.
And we decorated doors at Christmas time. All the patients would vote on it. We decorated pumpkins at Halloween. All the patients would vote on it. And it was cool. It was like a family in a lot of ways. And we had like monthly meetings, and it was a great job. But in those days, it was, you know, I think four of us were histotechs. By the end of it, we had been bought out by a corporate company twice. And there was, I don't know, 12, 14 of us. It was a lot different by the end.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Is that part of the reason why you transitioned out?
Yeah. unfortunately, yeah. And I really always felt like I was meant for more. I wanted like a big girl career, and I wanted to figure out what that was, and I made a decision to get one, and I got one. And yeah, things changed after the corporate, you know, took over the corporate company.
Sure.
Things changed, but like I still had really good relationships with the doctors that were over me, and it was still somewhere I'm really grateful for, and I loved everybody there.
Still talk to them?
I talked to most of them, yeah.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah.
When you're in East Texas, there's one name you have to know. Stanley's famous Pit Bar BQ in Tyler. Since 1960, Stanley's has been smoking up award-winning brisket, fall-off-the-bone ribs, and creative sandwiches like the legendary Mother Clucker. It's not just barbecue, it's an experience. Cold craft beer, over 90 whiskeys, and live music in a laid-back backyard vibe. Locals love it. Legends play here, and your taste buds will thank you. Come hungry, leave happy. Find them on Beckham Avenue or at stanleysfamous.com.
Hey, podcast listeners, are you in need of some top-notch libations to elevate your next gathering? Look no further than Hoot & Holler Liquor Store in Gun Barrel City, your go-to liquor store for quality drinks. From smooth bourbons to crisp wines and everything in between, Hoot & Holler has one of the largest and most diverse selections in East Texas. Planning a special occasion? Let our experts guide you to the perfect bottle. You'll receive excellent customer service not offered in the big box chains. Visit Hoot & Holler today and let the good times flow.
Vault Arms is your premier destination for all things firearms. Extensive selection of handguns, rifles, shotguns, and accessories. Knowledgeable staff to assist you in finding the perfect firearm to fit your needs. State-of-the-art gun range equipped with the latest technology for a safe and thrilling shooting experience. Take advantage of our professional shooting instruction and training programs suitable for all skill levels. Host your next group outing, corporate event, or bachelor party at our spacious and secure shooting facility. Committed to promoting responsible gun ownership and firearm safety. Fully licensed and compliant with all state and federal regulations.
Did you initially transition into something that was like not exactly what you have now, but kind of, or did you just jump and say, let's get a brick and mortar?
Well, I kind of jumped in. Well, kind of.
Were you doing tattooing? Were you tattooing before?
No, but, well, I did skip saying that I also was a permanent, a makeup artist, just a freelance makeup artist. I did that for a little bit in Dallas.
Okay.
So I did skip that part. So, you know, I can draw, I can paint, I can do all the artistic stuff. That's obviously what I love to do. And I've always loved makeup. I mean, I also can do hair pretty well. So, you know, I did all my friends' makeup for prom. I did all my friends' hair.
Okay.
I did, like, all
so
the
like special
cheerleader,
events. You're doing
French
special
braiding.
Events.
Yeah. I mean, that was for free. I was just, you know,
yeah.
in high school.
You were just goofing around.
But in Dallas, I did, yes, just events and little things.
Sure.
Photography stuff. But, yeah, I lost my train of thought. You're going to edit that out.
Well, that's fine. I mean, you just kind of went back to the DFW to establish, like, what was pulling at you to do something more permanent in, like,
yes.
maybe a brick and mortar. But what was it? What did you do? My point is this.
Yeah.
When you left pathology...
Mm-hmm.
Did you dabble in some things before you did the brick and mortar? Or did you just say, F it, I'm just going to do a brick and mortar and we'll figure shit out after that?
Yeah, it was definitely the second one.
Okay.
My husband was scared to death, but he wanted me to be happy, you know, and I was like, I think I can make this happen.
Did you have an original location that you were at, or are you
yes.
still there?
Well, okay. What happened was I told, you know, dermatology associates, I told them I'm about to change careers. I decided on doing permanent makeup because it was kind of this newer thing to me that I had never really heard of.
Jeez, that's a huge jump.
Yes.
But you knew that you had the artistic
right.
side of things, so you could lean on that.
Yeah.
You figure out, okay, how do I figure out this tattooing side of things?
Yes.
You probably had tattoos prior.
100%.
Yeah, so you kind of knew, like, okay... gotta be septic. You gotta, I mean, not right. septic, you gotta be aseptic. You gotta be clean.
Right.
I gotta make sure that I do this, this, and this. I got right. all the supplies. You know, you probably had a good index of what you needed.
Yeah.
And then you had kind of an idea of like, okay, like you said, a new field.
It was honestly like and it,
maybe
Facebook.
There was a vacuum there where there was nobody.
Facebook, I saw a microblading ad and I thought I should do that. I was like at a point where I just knew I was meant for more. I was meant to do something different and the years were just kept going. And
how many years ago was this?
I opened my business in 2018.
2018. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Wow. I've been doing it 7 years. Yeah.
So was it always opened as Artistry Inc?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you open it up.
I told them I was leaving.
And you're like, please nobody show up until I figure my stuff
out.
Well,
it's a little more than that. Okay. So I told them I was leaving.
Okay.
Made the decision to make the jump. My husband was scared to death.
Yeah.
But he was like, all right, let's try it.
Such a great husband. That is awesome.
He's great. He puts up with me. And I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But, so I basically told them, you know, what my plans were. And, you know, most of them were really receptive and supportive. Then I actually ended up, so I paid for the permanent makeup school. I found a permanent makeup school in Dallas.
Okay.
Took a loan out of my 401k to pay for this thing. Paid for it.
You sound like a typical entrepreneur.
Yes. We make crazy decisions.
Look, you got to have a passion.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
So a week later, though, I'm walking my first child. I'm walking her in the park. I'm at Rose Redmond. And I get a phone call from this doctor that I had interviewed with a few years prior.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Dr. Blazer. Shout out. He owned Summit Dermatology. And he said, hey, I just, you know, bought this practice. So at the time when I interviewed with him, he was kind of like, a different doctor owned the practice. But he more so ran this particular clinic because that doctor was more in Longview. Mm-hmm. So he says, hey, I'd like for you to come open me up a pathology lab. Do you think you could set me up a small in-house pathology lab? And because he's a dermatopathologist, they've been sending all their specimens out. He wants them to be in-house. And I was like, I would love to do that, but I just decided to make a career choice, like a career change. And he was like, well, what do you think about just doing it part-time on the side in my surgery lab or in my surgery suite?
Sure.
And I was like, duh. So for a year and a half, I set him up a lab, a little small in-house pathology lab, and ran that. You know, we had decent amount of specimens for one person and just processed everything that we took off of all of our patients for him. He read the slides. We did that for a year and a half, and basically I did it part-time. I did permanent makeup on the side part-time.
It was a good stop
with a baby, like a crazy person.
It was a good stop to kind of,
for sure, it was a great way to do it. And anytime anybody ever like wants to do something else, but they're stuck in this one career, but they feel like they're meant for more, I'm always like, hey, there's a gray area. Like, just figure out what you want and ask for it. You know, and that's as simple as it is. There's always gray.
Yeah.
Like, figure out the amount of hours you can do both, and then when you get to the time frame where you're, I was basically forced to choose because I was so far, just doing it part-time, I was 4 or 5 months booked out. So, you know, it was time to decide, basically.
Right.
And Dr. Blazer was amazing and great to me. And it was a hard decision, honestly.
Something that's,
it was a good job.
Guaranteed, kind of.
Exactly, it was a good
and
job.
And then to something that is like,
risky.
This could be, you know, it could change in 6 months.
Sure,
Yeah.
But
you had a pretty good following initially?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Did you do grand opening and stuff like that, or no?
No, I didn't really do that.
Damn, okay.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
I just like posted.
We should do that next week. No, I'm kidding.
I just like posted my, hey, I'm going to go and do this full time.
But I mean, 4 week or 4 month, you know, a waiting period on the initial launch, that's pretty
good.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Even at part-time hours, I mean, and we can get into, like, we're going to get into, you know, the offerings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that's insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
That you have a 4 month wait, and it just goes to show like what the demand is for that. And that's awesome. So you pick your niche.
I did.
Right? And then at some point you're like, you go to the doctor and you're like, hey, you know, this is taking off. I kind of need to prioritize it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so that was probably a difficult decision, but the right decision at that time, right?
For sure. Yeah.
And then, but dang, COVID happens.
Yes.
Which was a game changer, especially, and I can only speak from my experience. I keep hitting this freaking lapel deal. I don't know. It's bad. It's, I don't know. I just do it. But the industries that were involving like hair, nails, you know,
beauty,
all the beauty stuff,
yeah,
absolutely exploded during COVID.
Yeah.
Most of them did.
Yeah.
Now, if you were a brick and mortar, then it was different because you kind of had to, you had to move your cheese.
Yeah.
You kind of had to do it in the garage. You had to do, you know.
I didn't. I didn't do that. I mean, I was pregnant. So by that time, I left Blazer's office September of 2019 and COVID happened,
right,
you know, March of 2020. So I had like 5-6 glorious months. And then, yeah, I was basically like, oh my God, is my business going to survive this? And I was pregnant. I didn't know enough about COVID. None of us did. Obviously, people were dying. I was scared and I was pregnant and I was not going to break those rules at all because I was scared for myself, to be honest. I wanted to be like at my house and safe. So, no, I definitely took the time off. I mean, I had 80 people to reschedule by the time I came back to work. I had 40 on a waiting list.
So did you temporarily folded?
Yes.
Did you start in March?
I just shut down like I was told to, you know. Okay. Came back in May.
Okay,
we did
so
not get opened back up as tattoo
short.
Artists. Yeah. Like the hair people open up before us. I remember that well because I know all the permanent makeup artists were like screaming at Abbott, like, hey, we're a beauty service. We're not just tattooers. And yeah, they basically, you know, opened us back up about a week after the hair people, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I think it was about May
15th. Because a lot of people were getting caught doing hair.
Oh, yeah.
And they were getting caught doing tattoos. And they were getting caught, you know, not wearing masks.
Oh, yeah.
And it was litigators, like politicians, that were doing it too.
Right.
Oh, we can go on and on about all the mess that that was.
Yeah.
But
fun times.
But so you reopen, and then you get an explosion of need, right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, within like my first year back.
You had an 11-month waiting list.
Yes. Yeah.
During COVID.
Well, it wasn't during COVID. I mean, I had 80 people to reschedule. I closed my books where new people couldn't schedule. I didn't know when I was going to open it back up. And so I wanted the 80 people that were already on my schedule to be first. And then I had a wait list of the others that wanted on.
Right.
And then it just kind of blew up after that. I really think the masking helped because everybody's like seeing nothing but eyebrows.
Right.
So that helped.
Sure. I could see that.
I did a ton of nurses. Everybody was not wearing any makeup. They were wearing masks. They had the mask knee, as they all called
it. And then if they had makeup, it was like,
is like melting
impacting,
off.
Yeah,
so they were
yeah.
like, I just want this permanently done. There's
right.
a ton of nurses. Hmm. I did tons of nurses. I used to say they got to be like 75% of my business, but not so much anymore. But in those days, it was so many nurses. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like managing like the COVID side of things, reopening?
Horrible.
That wait list. And then you have... You're pregnant and you have a new or you have a young child,
two,
right?
Three, yeah.
Yeah, so like that's a lot to manage as
a
mom.
It was a lot, yeah. It was a lot.
And a business owner.
Mm-hmm. It was a really stressful time.
So you did like your mom did, like you figured it out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's and your kids are going to say the same thing, like, I don't know how she did all this.
I hope so.
Yeah?
I hope so. It's definitely the goal. I hope that they look back and say that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so we talked a little bit about, but prior to this, you've got a platform that you're building mm-hmm. for permanent makeup artists
mm-hmm.
That you're building software for.
Yes.
Don't give us all the details because obviously it's going to be proprietary, but what made you want to do that and why do you think it's important?
So in 7 years, I have... used 3 booking systems. I probably trialed like 10, 11, 12. And basically all of the ones I've used have great things, and but just aren't enough. They don't have everything I need. Mm-hmm. They're great for estheticians. You know, a lot of those booking systems, they can be good for hair people, estheticians. When it comes to permanent makeup artists, we are required to write down every needle we use, the size, the configuration, the brand. Same with all of the inks we use. We have to put expiration dates, lot numbers, all the things. So basically, I've made a really easy way to kind of quickly put those in, those needles. And of course, you have to put them in ahead of time in your own system, whatever you use. I can't know what everyone's going to use, but it makes it super easy. It's a very like click, click, click situation when you're filling out all of the info that you want to go back and look at when they come back to see you.
Yeah.
And then it's a really user-friendly booking system. And then on top of that, they'll basically get a full-blown website, easy to manage, it's a copy and paste of everything on my website, and a full booking system, and then a full note system, quick note system, to put in everything they used.
Yeah, very cool.
Are you looking to optimize your drilling rig operations and maximize productivity? Look no further. Rex Consulting is here to power your drilling. With over 20 years of industry experience, our expert team provides tailored solutions that drive efficiency, safety, and profitability. From site assessments to cutting-edge technology integration, Rex Consulting is your trusted partner for land-based and offshore oil and gas drilling solutions. Ready to take your rig to the next level? Contact Rex Consulting today and send your operations to the next level in operational performance. Contact Josh Simmons at 918-637-9181. Rex Consulting, level up.
Looking for your next favorite hangout in East Texas? Come experience True Vine Brewing Company, Tyler's original craft brewery. Since 2014, True Vine has been serving up award-winning beers with a laid-back, community-focused vibe. Whether you're sipping on a seasonal IPA or enjoying one of their signature brews, you'll feel right at home. With 2 awesome locations, the spacious Earl Campbell Parkway Tap Room and the cozy downtown square spot, there's always something going on. Live music, food trucks, and even spots for your kids and your dogs. True Vine Brewing Company, more than a brewery, it's a place to connect, unwind, and taste something truly local. Come see what's on tap at truevinebrewing.com. That's truevinebrewing.com.
The Humidor is your online cigar retailing headquarters. Our experienced staff has spent years finding some of the best cigars from around the world to sell to our customers. If you're looking for an online cigar store that can help you find your next favorite smoke, welcome to the Humidor. We began the Humidor because of our deep appreciation of the finer things in life, a good conversation with friends, an aged whiskey, and, of course, a fine smoke. That's why, in addition to selling premium cigars online, we also operate a brick-and-mortar cigar lounge in Tyler, Texas. Our lounge is crafted to provide a classic ambience with modern sensibilities, and we've spent time ensuring that smokers and non-smokers have an enjoyable experience, whether they're there for a drink with friends or to enjoy the game.
Something else you mentioned is the possibility, and, you know, this isn't any commitments here.
Yeah.
But you talked a little bit about maybe doing some virtual training.
Yes, that's definitely in the works.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
So do you think that's a need in the field?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Continuing education is super important, and I think that's in any field. I think you're going to lose it if you don't continue to grow and learn new things and techniques, and there's always something new. So, mine is basically going to be for artists that are already certified. It's not like a training program or anything like that. You need to be certified and send me your license, and then you'll be able to purchase the course.
Yeah, it's cool.
But, yeah, I'm going to do a breakdown of lips, a breakdown of a couple styles of brows, breakdown of color boosts. I would love to do a business mindset breakdown, how to, you know, just customer service and how to handle your, you know, wait list, all the things. Those are in the works, and I'm kind of taking my time on those. I'm not in a hurry.
Right.
So, yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about the difference between, or what should some people weigh out when they're thinking about going from regular makeup to permanent makeup, what should not me, but my wife or someone else think about when they're considering that decision?
I mean, to me, permanent makeup always needs to be like an enhancement. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to, and I'm really, really honest about that with my clients. I don't want you to think it's going to fully replace makeup. Now, eyebrows, sure. You can get your eyebrows done and probably never have to touch them. You could also spruce them up a bit if you feel like it, right? It's all based on that client and what they want, you know, who they are. But yeah, I would just say, like, make sure, you know, when you're choosing your artist that they have a ton of before and afters that you like and that, you know, they seem like someone that maybe you could hang out with for a few hours. It's 3-4 hours long that you're going to be with that person.
Right.
A huge thing I always say, especially in those days when I was booked out 11 months and that was crazy, a lot of people don't want to wait that long, you know, and I'd say it's totally fine. I get it. But when you're shopping your artist, make sure they're posting healed pictures.
Mm.
So a lot of people only post day one, and you can, you know, part of being a good tattooist and a good permanent makeup artist is the healed results, what it looks like 2 weeks from then, what it looks like 6 months from then, what it looks like 2 years from that point. And I post all of that stuff very regularly. I label everything. A lot of, you know, I've definitely covered a lot of bad work. And unfortunately, the permanent makeup industry is not super regulated. We're considered tattoo artists. So, I mean, there are people, you know, offering microblading, 3-day microblading courses. I mean, this is a very normal thing.
Right.
And this is a blade and you're cutting someone's face and putting permanent ink inside of those cuts. So it's actually a really big deal. It, you know, it probably should be better regulated, more so than it is. And maybe it will one day. I know, like, they're talking about it a lot.
Yeah, Kim Brown and I talked about this. She's with Injectology, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about the Botox industry and how people are doing it in their garage, people are doing it in their living room. And, you know, you're injecting.
It's terrible.
So, yeah, it's like, how in the heck did we get here? And that there are bills that are on the table to talk about. And it, to me, I liken it to, I was in the optical industry for a while, and we got into,
like, guns or eyeglasses.
Yeah, like eyeglasses.
There's optics too.
Yeah, eyeglasses.
Isn't that a gun thing?
Eyeglasses. but mainly contacts. And
okay.
So back whenever I was in the business, color contacts was like a big thing, and people wanted to look like aliens, they wanted to look like cats, and so they were buying like these color contacts or augmented contacts at the flea markets. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute, you're not prescribed it, you know, how do you know your eye even matches that contact? And basically it's just like Amazon. They were just buying them from Mexico, they were buying them from China, whatever, and off from there, and then people were like putting in their eye and then getting eye infections.
Mm.
Almost immediately. Scratching their eyes or whatever. So I think it's, you have to do your homework. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
You know, do your homework on who you're attempting to see. And we also know that if the price is too good to be true, it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah,
it's not a good thing.
Yeah.
So you talked a little bit about some botched work that you've had to do. What are some of the examples that you've had to do? Anything recent or anything that just stands out to you that you've had to,
Definitely. I'm always working on someone else's work and trying to make it better. That's always, I mean, I probably do that weekly.
That sounds horrible that you're always having to do it.
Yeah. It's not the, weirdly, it's a harder job, 100%. I don't know what pigments they use. I don't know what needles they use. I don't know how deep they went. I don't know this person. I don't know anything. Half the time, the client doesn't. I'm like, did you get microblading? Was it a tattoo machine? They're just like, oh, I don't know. I mean, they just think they were certified. There's a certification on their wall.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but I've had horror stories as far as where I'm just like, I can't believe what I'm hearing, where again, well, it was, I was getting a pedicure and they said, you know, come to this back room, I'll microblade your eyebrows.
Right.
Like truly, that's probably been 5 times I've heard that one.
Right. So it's weekly you're hearing, or you're having to,
I mean, weekly I
either
cover,
touch up,
not that
or,
it's botched, but weekly yeah. I cover someone else's work.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so talk to us
and
a little.
And it's a lot more difficult than, you know, it sounds. It's a lot more that goes into it.
I
tell them all, like, it's going to take 2-3 sessions before, like, I'm happy. Like, you're going to be happier probably after our first one because you're going to have a better shape, you're going to have a better color. But, like, for me, I really like to perfect everything. And, like, a lot of times these eyebrows that I'm covering are, like, way oversaturated. They've turned black-blue. There's the train.
There's the train, yeah. Our first one.
There it is.
Maybe our only one. It gets really loud.
It's fine.
I love it.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's like one of the things that's nostalgic about this area.
Yeah.
And it's an Amtrak,
mm-hmm.
which is going like, you know, 100 miles per hour,
yeah.
probably, maybe more.
Does that,
so,
is that the one that goes through Wascom?
Yeah, probably so.
This,
so this is Highway 80. This is Highway 80 right here.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes to Longview. So
yep.
from here to Longview, from here also to Fort Worth. So it goes all the way to Fort Worth.
Yeah.
And then it goes all the way to Longview.
I had a friend that lived like so close to this train track.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And from
her
Longview,
kids, like, didn't even wake
I think
up
it goes north. I think it goes north from Longview. I don't know. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure it does.
Well, I don't know.
The same train, I believe, goes to Chicago. So it goes through St. Louis and then goes to Chicago.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't know
My
that.
Dad was in the train business.
Really?
So I've done a little bit of research on Amtrak. Not that I'd want to spend a ton of time on it, but it, you know, it seems like an interesting thing to do.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
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 Long rides.
All right. Well, you were talking about.
Yeah, but like the permanent makeup that's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just it's going to take more
sessions.
You
said it was taking more than one.
It's going to take more work. It's going to take more sessions. I don't charge anything extra for it because I love to do it. I love to like fix someone that has like low confidence because they chose someone wrong and turn that around. So like I don't hate doing them. It is more work on me. It's a lot harder, but
yeah.
I love doing it. For the end result.
Sure.
But sometimes there is people that I can't do. Whenever you have previous permanent makeup by someone else that wasn't me, you have to, you know, send me a picture so I can look it over. It has to be clear, it has to be in good lighting, it has to be no makeup on top of them. And that way I can really see and figure out if it's something I think I can make better. And my, like, you know, quote I tell everybody is like, if I can't put you in a better situation than you were before, then I won't do it.
Right.
And then from there, they can either get their brows lasered off, which is super traumatic to the skin, and it's traumatic to the person. It's a huge healing process. It's multiple sessions, which I'm thankful that it's a thing, because I do have to send people there, you know, sometimes. But I try to do what I can without having to do that. But if I truly feel like I can't make them any better and actually put a shape on them that I'm proud of, then that's a tough conversation that I have to have later.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you talked about, you know, covering up some of these errors and things like that. Obviously, you do the brows, you do lip liner. What are some of the...
Lip blushing. I do not do lip liner.
Sorry. I said the wrong word.
It's basically like a full lip, but blush is supposed to look like what God gave you.
Okay.
Like you were just born with beautiful shape, beautiful color.
Okay.
It's not supposed to look like makeup. I don't really like that with any of my stuff. I want it to look as natural as possible.
Yes.
I will go pretty bold with brows if that's what the client wants. But with like eyeliner and lips, like I prefer to stay on the more natural side of things.
Okay. What else do you do?
And lip liner is not natural, right?
Okay.
It's just like an
outline.
Hey,
look, I just used the word. I was trying to like say, okay, you're making the lips fuller or something. I don't know.
I mean, giving it a look of fullness, sure.
Okay.
You're such a dude.
I'm a guy just trying to figure things out. Like, I'm going down a road I've never gone down.
I know. Well, welcome.
Which is great. You know, yeah. It's awesome. We're learning things. What else do you offer there?
Okay, so I do brows, eyeliner. I do what's called a lash enhancement. I don't do classic eyeliner. It's going to be more of like your natural. It's going to make your lashes look darker and thicker.
Okay.
It's super natural. And then I used to do the classic eyeliner. I just don't really like to do it, so I quit doing it.
Okay.
I will cover bad eyeliner and make it better if I have to. If they come to me with brows and like, I'm going to put my beautiful brows on your beautiful virgin skin, but these eyes look crazy and I can make them better, then I still will, even though I hate it and it gives me a migraine 50% of the time. It's a lot of tension in this tiny area. But I do lip blushing. I do, so breast cancer patients are a huge part of my job.
Mm-hmm.
Breast cancer survivors. So basically they have been through the ringer. Most of the time they've been through 2 years of chemo, sometimes radiation. Their treatment plans are long, and then they have to do, you know, basically a big surgery where everything is removed that's possible.
Right.
And then they go through this whole stretching thing, and then implants come in after that with a plastic surgeon, and they have a few different choices as far as reconstructions that they can go with. A lot of plastic surgeons do areola reconstruction where they take a graft from your groin or wherever.
Right.
And kind of build you an areola. But a lot of those are my patients or my clients as well, because the color doesn't come out exactly perfect, or the shape isn't exactly perfect. So I'll, enhance it and make those more natural looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times, just like a blank slate, they don't have anything. It's just flat skin,
right,
and they make it look 3D, like it's a real 3D.
That's cool.
Nipple, yes.
Yeah.
All of the wives show their husband these pictures.
Yeah.
In the days that Facebook used to let me post them.
Yeah.
I don't post them anymore because it gets taken down.
Yeah.
But it's funny how many wives come in and tell me, oh my God, I show my husband that immediately. He couldn't believe it. So it's like a huge compliment, you know.
Right.
Men are obviously looking at those things.
Yeah. And yeah, for sure. And toes and feet and stuff like that. I mean, I saw the
video. Webbed feet.
The web feet. Talk to us about that. Like, how often does that come up?
And she's my only one I've ever done.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a ton of things I would love to do that I've seen online. Like some people who've had like their fingers chopped off, you know, like maybe these two got chopped off and they'll do little nails on them. I'd love to do that. I would love to have an alopecia client that has zero eyebrows. Never had that happen. I mean, I've done all kinds of scar camouflage in lots of different areas of different ladies' bodies. Anything, if it bugs you and I can tattoo it, I mean, I will do it.
Okay.
If it'll make you feel better, I'm down.
Any guy clients or no?
No, I've never had
any. Never one?
Mm-mm.
No, but the scar thing,
reach out,
the scar definitely, you would think a lot of them would.
Yeah, I get a decent amount of those. Like, mainly, a lot of it's just from my areola clients because there is a lot of, you know, and there's so many different repairs that you can do, different scars in different areas depending on their situation. But
and when you go through trauma like that, like anything that gets you one step closer to whole is huge.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I get to like see them at the best time because I'm like their last step and their journey. So they're done and they get to feel like a woman again. That's like what they all say. I feel like a woman again. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, and getting the feedback after the husband sees it is probably good feedback,
too. Oh, so many husbands, like, come in with them at the touch-up the second time, and they'll be like, just so you know, you did amazing. Yeah. This is crazy. So, yeah, it's great to hear from the hubbies.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to nail you down to anything in particular, but what do you find as the average, like, cost to do something like... you know, you could toss out something you do very commonly, like eyebrows, or obviously if you're having to do like touch-ups, you know, two or three times, the cost is going to vary, right?
Sure, yeah.
So
I mean, eyebrows are $6.95.
Okay.
Any style, doesn't matter which one you want. Most of the time, that's like a little mini consult that I'm going to see you for the first time. I'm going to look at your skin. I'm going to tell you how much, or look at how much brow hair you have, and kind of tell you what I think, what style will fit best. It doesn't matter because that's all the same price. When it gets to, you know, I mean, the lash enhancement starts at $350. You know, lips are $5.95.
Yeah.
So I do brows mostly. I've done so many brows. I mean, thousands of brows.
What do you think that is? Like, why is that?
Well, because brows frame the face. And they really can change your whole look. They can make or break your face.
Okay.
So you go to the wrong person, and they give you this huge, blocky, squared eyebrow that's a huge, giant caterpillar all the way down. You're not going to look like the same pretty person you did before.
Right.
You know, and you really need to go to somebody who knows how to do makeup and, you know, can see symmetry and put the best shape on for you. I individualize like every single one of my services. Like, I don't do the same brow on everyone. It's all going to be different sizes, different colors. The, you know, if I'm drawing in hair strokes, those are going to flow with your hair. They're not going to be one pattern fits all.
Yeah. There's a lot to consider, huh?
There's a lot to consider.
Is it there? So there's a consultation, and then does everything happen at almost the same day or normally?
Definitely
the same day.
Same day.
Okay.
I mean, I will do in-person consults if, you know, the client requests, but typically I call it a mini consult. It's at the beginning of your appointment.
Yeah.
I draw your eyebrows on for you with makeup.
That's what I was about to ask. Mm-hmm. Like, because, you know, with the tattoo artist, they're typically you tell them what you want. They stencil it in.
Yeah.
Like, hey, is this good?
Yeah.
You're like, that's a lot bigger than I expected
sure.
it to be.
Yeah.
And they're like, we can shrink this up a little bit or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But, you color it in and like,
I do.
Hey.
And that's different than a lot of artists. A lot of artists just go right into measuring and mapping and they put all these lines on your face.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And that's fine. Cause you do want to measure and map. It's very important. I just do that second and I like to, draw their eyebrows on with makeup first and
sure.
let them look in the mirror and let them see what
that's smart.
I think will look best on their face.
Yeah.
And color wise, we talk about after that. And then we do the measuring and the mapping, and then we numb for 20 minutes, and then the tattoo process typically takes like an hour and a half to 2 hours-ish after that. And that's pretty much it. I mean, and I always tell everybody, if I have my nervous Nellies or like my ladies that are, you know, skeptical of the shape I recommend or, you know, are arguing with me on any of that, I'd rather lose the money any day of the week.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're not ready and you don't feel confident, and like we're not on the same page with shape or we're not on the same page with any of it, then I'd rather you take some time to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. What are some red flags that you think the public needs to know about? Some things you should look for. We talked a little bit about it already for permanent, you know, makeup artists. Like if you see something, you hear something, what are some red flags?
I would say red flag is definitely like a Groupon deal. I wouldn't go to that person.
Right. Yeah.
I would skip on that.
Right. If it's too good to be true, like too cheap to be true.
Right. Yes.
You know, it's always
definitely
a bad deal.
Wouldn't do that.
Yep.
Yeah. I would make sure they have, you know, not only certificates on their wall, but, you know, proof of inspections. You know, make sure that
they didn't start up last week or whatever.
Yeah. You definitely want to figure out how long they've been doing it.
Yeah.
That's always a good start.
I've only done it to my sister.
Yeah.
Or,
that'd be so terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely don't want to go to that person.
Look at her. She was great.
Yeah, no. You don't want to go to that person. And you definitely want to do your homework like we talked about. I always say, too, like, especially in the days when I was as far booked out, nobody wanted to wait on me. You know, everybody's like, oh, gosh, that's 11 months. No, thanks. And I'd say that's fine. Like, you know, do what you want to do. But when you're choosing your artist, like, make sure there's a ton of pictures that, like, you feel like fits you. Like, something you would like, something you would want. And it's good work, right? But also good healed pictures. So what they look like on day one is super different from what they're going to look like on day 14.
Sure.
They take 2 weeks to heal. It is a tattoo. It is a needle going into your skin and giving you a boo-boo. So there's going to be a lot of healing happening after that. A good tattoo is no tattoo
implant.
And
on, like, pretty thin tissue, too.
Sure, some of it. I mean, yeah, everybody has different skin. Every skin type is so different. But, yeah, a lot of it. And that's a huge risk of if they are thin, you know, going too deep. And that's what turns black-blue. But just make sure they have healed pictures. That's always my biggest advice I can give. If they're only posting day one pictures, which look beautiful, yes, but they're dark. They're dark. My eyebrows, I always start on the warmer side because tattoos are going to ash out. You know, every tattoo. I mean,
right.
This was once black. It's more like a navy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So you have to keep that in mind. My eyebrows, if you're looking at day one on my website, they're going to look a little on the warm side, and they're going to be probably a little too dark. I always tell everybody, by day 10, you're going to love everything.
Yeah.
So they typically fade about 20-25%, and then the ashiness kind of sets in and offsets that warmth, and then they're the perfect brown when everything heals. And then implanting pigment in skin is, you know, so much goes into the technicalities of tattooing, that a lot of newbies, it takes time to learn, you know? So day one might look good, but you might not have actually implanted pigment in half of that brow. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to see somebody with a really, you know, nice and solid and natural color, looking the same saturation throughout when it's healed. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It matters, but no one really thinks of it. And why would they, you know?
Well, I mean, it makes complete sense, because the day of is way different than day 10.
Day one is a little scary.
7, 10, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see, you have some swelling, and then you're going to have the skin reception of it, and then the healing.
Mm-hmm.
And then time of year plays somewhat of a factor.
Yeah.
At least it does for me when I get tattoos.
It does,
You know, are you going to have direct sun on it?
Right.
You know, all that kind of stuff, that's going to play a factor. So, yeah, lot to take in.
Yeah, there's lots of rules. And I send home everything you need as far as taking care of them. I send home the, you know, an aftercare kit that has everything you need. It's got a card printed out with all your rules.
Cool.
And do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
Because you're right.
So in your business, you have to have a lot of high standards. High standards in my business is the same. Like, the constant, like, pressures to deliver, high expectations, high standards, often leads to burnout.
Yes.
How do you balance that and do what you're doing for as long as you've done it?
Well, you're going to have, you know, highs and lows of, like, any career that you create. Any entrepreneur is definitely going, or small business owner where it's mainly on you, is going to have a lot of that. And you, I think a big part of it is just going, like, hey, this is part of it. You know, and just realizing, like, it's an ebb and flow, and it'll always come back around where you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, I have two kids. I have a husband. I mean, I love my family. And, you know, I hate that word balance, to be quite honest. I don't think it exists.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of it.
Okay.
You know, that work-life balance that they talk about?
Yeah.
That's a lie, if you ask me.
Well, as an entrepreneur, I do believe it's a lie.
It's a lie.
Yeah. I think a lot of people think, like, I want to be my own boss. Yeah, guess what?
But
you work for your customers all the time.
You're never off work.
Yes, you're never off.
Never off work.
Right. A lot of places that are very successful have to close for 2 weeks so that they can take time off.
Yeah.
But then customers complain that they're closed.
Right.
Like, you're going to get a Google review. You're going to get whatever you know, kind of review, because you were closed for 2 weeks so that you can take time off to have a mental reset.
Right.
I've seen,
like,
it.
Like, you needed that, but no one cares.
Right.
No one cares. And you don't want to put that out in the open anyway. You wouldn't put that publicly anyway. You wouldn't want to. But
have you had burnout?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Does it happen often or no?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
How do you reset?
A few times a year.
How do you reset? Like, how do you?
I mean, what I have done.
Because I'll stop you there, because you're creating things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot, like, you're like an artist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of
creative energy.
But you see somebody happy on the end of it, and you understand that people are seeing them, and they're possibly talking about the benefits of it, whether it be just them and their husband, or out in the public life. And so that's got to feel great that you do those things, but there's a lot of time in your life that you're sharing with other people versus your family.
Right.
So that part is, there's a hard juggle there.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you reset that burnout?
I mean, a lot of it is like once you get the confidence in yourself, which honestly, you know, it might have take some counseling. It might take reading some, you know, self-help, some psychology books, some business-minded books. I like to, in counseling, they use this term. It's called a resource. I don't know if you've ever been to a counselor, but I've seen a few in my life. And it's called a resource. So it's like the things that, like, will put you back into happy mode if you're feeling down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have my own resources. Everybody's are different. But, you know, if you are in burnout, then you need to definitely lean on your resources.
Yeah.
And honestly, and this isn't for everybody, but I love listening to business-minded books, self-help books. I love listening to them on audio while I'm also, like, conquering a to-do list. Yeah. Now, look, that might be, like, truly resting in Netflix and chill for the next person. It's not me. For me, it's growing, evolving, like going, okay, I'm in a funk, like how can I get to that next step to get out of it? So audiobooks are a huge resource for me. That's one of them. Podcasts, audiobooks, anything business minded or just like self-help, developmental growth, mind wise. I love learning about the brain. The brain is crazy. Plus I am a therapist, so like
the body and the brain both.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, no, but the brain is crazier.
When I feel burnout, the body
just follows the brain.
I tend to like toggle to silly. Mm-hmm. I just want like I don't want to feel real.
Yeah.
I want it to feel like it's a simulator.
Yeah.
And I just want somebody to tell me that being just off is okay.
Yeah. You know, it's perfectly normal.
Yeah, and so
especially for entrepreneurs, we go. Like we're really like we're hard on ourselves for like, we're a bit of perfectionists and we want everything to be like so. And you can only do that for so long before like you will crash.
Yeah.
It's just part of it. And I have big rises and I have pretty big crashes. But what I do, like for every day, like burnout obviously is like it's a bigger deal. And I just lean on my resources for that and try to take off work if I can. Like if someone cancels, I don't feel it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I take the time off and I go do something that's a resource. But for the most part, I try to like prioritize my, I guess I like rotate my priorities. So like everyone in my life is a priority, right? My business is a priority. My husband is a separate priority. My kids are a separate priority. My girlfriends, like doing girls' dinners and nights out once every couple months, that feeds me. It makes me feel whole.
Reset you.
Yeah. So like, all of those things you need to do.
It separates you from being business.
Yeah.
You know.
But they're also like my hype team too, my girls' dinners, you know. So we talk a lot of business a lot of the times, but it's just a different environment and you need it.
Yeah.
You know, you need to get outside of your normal.
100%.
But I like to rotate it. So like what I say to like my friends and honestly anybody who asks, I love to rotate priorities. So like maybe I haven't loved on my husband in a couple of days. Of course, I always love on him, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
I
maybe,
know.
You know, it's time.
Yep.
For some things, you know, so you want to always be sure that, you know, that day I'm going to give all my husband the love, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And then like the next day that might be kid number one who has just been acting a little more needy for mommy.
Yeah.
I'm going to take her. I'm going to like do some one-on-one time with her, you know, make sure she feels special, ask her a million questions that we just sit there and talk and she listens. The next day might be the next kid. The next day might be me, like, full balls to the walls. Maybe I don't have any appointments that day, and I'm getting 17 things knocked off my to-do list. Because I also tattoo for a living. I can't touch my phone. I mean, I can't mark it. I can't put in any of the notes.
Right.
Like, there's always so much admin that I have to do. So then for that whole day, I'm just going to go balls to the walls getting that done. And I rotate it. And I think really like that's how you feel more balanced, but it's not true balance. You cannot give, you know, I don't know, 20% to everyone on the same day.
Yeah.
I don't think that exists.
I think it can make it work a little bit, but it can't, you can't do 20-20-20. That doesn't,
not every day.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because it's not authentic.
No.
Like you're not being genuine.
Right.
It's more of just like checking the box.
Yeah.
So you can do 50-50, I think. You can do, hey,
there's
look.
Definitely days to do 50-50.
But the thing is like, are your customers going to be happy with 50% lower? Probably not.
I try not to ever give just 50 to them. That would be not good.
But I mean, the thing is like, you're given 100% for 8 hours a day. Mm-hmm. What's left in the tank?
Yeah.
And then your family gets, you know, a quarter of tank of Laura.
But
and
you
then,
get little hits of dopamine whenever
I'm paint a picture for the sacrifice you're giving to the clients you have.
Yeah.
And the full percentage that they're getting is there.
Right.
And I'm not saying you're sacrificing anything with your family. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that sometimes that tank's not full.
Yeah.
And so when you get home, they get what's left.
Yeah.
And you sometimes have to just specify who's going to get that part of your tank.
Yep.
You know, and you're going to give 100% to whoever it ends up being.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yep.
I read
that somewhere a long time ago, and it really, like, resonated with me.
Sure.
And I have lived that, like, since. Like, I'm like, work-life balance is stupid.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It's
well,
lying.
unless you know, like, what your limits are. So I do. Like, I've been doing this for a very long time. And so mm-hmm. I know, like, hey, you know, I'm into hour 50 in the week,
mm-hmm.
and I've given all I can give because I've had to do this. I've had to wear 20 different hats
right.
throughout this week, and I need a mental break.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to talk to anybody for the next hour.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be quiet. And to be honest with you, what's crazy, and my wife can attest, is that I almost 100% of the time drive a car, even if I'm driving 2 hours, 5 hours, with no radio. I don't drive with a radio.
No.
Because I need silence.
Yeah.
Because I'm constantly on the phone, I'm constantly getting text messages, I'm constantly answering questions.
Yeah.
And it's, there's no, I know that people aren't going, hey, let me interrupt his day.
No, right.
They're not doing that.
Yeah.
They simply need the help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, I need to ask a question. Hey.
It's like the time that particular person had to text
right.
you.
And what really stinks is that I can, like, there's probably at least 50, no, probably closer to 75 to 100 conversations that me and my wife have had.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the middle of the conversation, and it's a good part. Like, hey, we're about to make a decision, or hey, we're getting some clarity mm-hmm. to the situation, or hey, we're talking about next steps, or, you know, whatever it is, and it's getting good, and we haven't had a good conversation like that in a minute.
Yeah.
I get a phone call. I get a text, and it's somebody waiting on an answer.
Oh, no.
Which stinks.
Yep.
And you have the same thing with an entrepreneur. It's
sure.
like, you have a client who has a question, they have an issue, they have a concern, they have a follow-up that they want to schedule, or whatever it may be. I mean,
yeah.
you have that part of yourself that you serve, and then it's a delicate balancing act that not everybody has,
mm-hmm.
that I just want to paint a picture for.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. It's what you do, what you do is special, and it's hard, and sometimes it's just good to reflect and understand, but also let the public know, like, hey, this is what I'm balancing.
Sure, yeah. And all my clients are they're really understanding. I mean, most of my clients are moms,
yeah.
So that helps. I've had really rare situations where, like, because my kids will always come first, and I will always make that, like, very known. So, like, if my kid's sick and they're, like, really sick, you know, where I'm like, no, I don't want a grandparent to step in.
Gotta reschedule.
They need their mommy today, you know.
Yeah.
You're going to reschedule. And, I mean, it's a bummer because in my line of work, I'm letting somebody down all the time.
Sure.
When that happens,
sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's somebody who's waited, you know, months on me to, you know, and paid a deposit and is very excited. But my baby needs me, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know, if we're on day 3 of the sickness and it's worn off, grandma, come on. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And
yeah.
then I'm back to work. And I will come in on a weekend most of the time, like if I need to reschedule someone,
sure.
if it's my fault or my kid's sick thing. But, you know, everybody has their different set of priorities. And if you're not in line as a client to understand that, then we're probably not going to vibe anyway, you know? So I'm fine with giving your deposit back. If you're really upset that I'm taking care of my very sick kiddo, then we're probably, you know, not good for each other anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What advice would you give women that are, that've got big ideas, but maybe some low confidence, low self-esteem? Like, what would you say to those folks?
Well, I mean, I'm a, there's so many things that you can do to like build your self-confidence. I mean, and of course a lot of them are going to be like an outward appearance thing, but I'm not a big, how do I say it? I'm not going to say like you should be vain. I'm not a fan of vanity, but I am a fan of you looking in the mirror and thinking you look pretty good and being proud of what you see. And that doesn't have to be vain. So, I mean, do the things that, that make you, you know, figure out what makes you feel prettier, better, smarter. Do those, you know, take action and make one of them happen. And before you know it, that's back to the brain. There's instant hints of dopamine happening and you're happier. And then you, you have more confidence. You have more, you're braver. You feel a little more braver to make those bigger choices. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess like just focus on yourself first, figure out what makes you feel the most healthy and the most confident and get that squared away. And then, you know, whatever your next business move is, or if you wanted to do something big, I mean, I think that needs to be like a separate thing. But get yourself, you know, in order first.
Yeah, it's one of the words you used from with me was manifestation.
Yeah.
Like you've got to build on something.
Yeah.
So start. Mm-hmm. Like take a step. See how it goes.
Yeah.
Take another
Don't
step.
Don't sit there and wallow.
Like, ever. Yeah, like there's only what ifs without a first step.
Yeah.
So you have to do that first.
Yeah. I love that. That's like one of my favorite things too. I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's something like, you know, if you do the, you know, if you decide to take the big leap, like you have this big dream and you're like, oh, but I'm scared and oh, I have this great job and there's insurance and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like Perfect. I told you earlier, there's always a gray area. Figure out a way to tiptoe, for one. Make that yeah. your first step. And then yeah. for two, like when you get to that nudge part where like your intuition is like, go, 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 then you probably should listen. But at the same time, okay, did you know that NASA, those people, they literally try to fail? That's how they test. They try to make it fail. Did you know that?
They try to make what fail?
All of their tests. They're trying to figure out basically what could go wrong. So all of their testing is to try to fail.
Oh, interesting.
So that they know what not to do the next time.
Okay.
Which is so
I haven't heard that.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really interesting way of thinking of it. But one of my favorite like sayings, and like I said, I don't know exactly what it is, but basically, you know, you have two choices. You can make the choice to like, okay, I'm going to go for my dream. I have a 50% chance yeah. of failing. I have a 50% chance of succeeding. Or I'm going to stay where I am. And guess what? That's 100% chance of failing
yeah.
and staying where you are. So, like, it's 50% better to just go ahead and try, isn't it?
Yeah, we had a guest on. I can't remember her first name. I know it starts with an A. But she did clothing and did like a lot of decorations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And but she suffered with a lot of self-doubt and like really bad anxiety and
yeah.
depression. And it was mostly revolving around like when she had kids or after like postpartum type stuff.
Yeah.
And then she, like, during COVID was like, I'm just going to put my head down and I'm going to do it because that's what makes me happy.
Yeah.
So she just, like, went head down, opened the Facebook page, started making like, sweaters, spirit shirts. And now, like, she has a huge production, 3 employees, like, thriving, enjoying yeah. life. Like, you can see in her mannerisms that she's so much happier than...
Yeah, it's
she
like
was a
confidence
nurse.
That
she was
builds
a nurse.
When it works.
And now, like, it's so, I think that what I, like, you can test, like, you can ask other people what their thoughts are, but you're the one that's passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're passionate about it and you're confident enough and you have a good brand and you have some backing, and it's like, go, just do it. It's what's going to
yeah.
make you happy.
Well, especially, I mean, if that's what makes you happy, like, that's, like, one of your resources, and it's your business idea, so it's going to make you money. Like, that's a win-win.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's next for Artistry Inc.? I know that what is it called? The bar? The
Beauty Bar.
Beauty
Artistry
Bar.
Artistry Inc. and Beauty Bar.
Yeah, you've got a little bit of a transition there, right?
What do you mean?
Is somebody else in there? Because you had somebody
That's leaving?
That's leaving, yes.
Yeah.
So do you have somebody coming in?
Yes, there's been five of us. I opened it in 2022.
Okay.
August of 2022. It was all filled up, all five rooms by October. And we've been, all five of us, for over 3 years now. Never drama, never anything. Everybody's just been great. It's been beautiful. But aside from the only thing that hasn't been beautiful is Tegan, one of my girls. She's a permanent makeup artist there. Her daughter's actually battling cancer for the second time.
Yeah.
So she is actually going to go ahead and take a step back. And yes, I do have a room coming open. And hopefully someone we can, find that vibes with all of us. Like it has been. It's been really, really easy and chill. So,
So is there anything new?
Aside from, the booking system that I created, I'm still like trying to learn and live with and figure out exactly how I want to market that. But I do want, to sell it, obviously, especially to permanent makeup artists. But I think a lot of people will absolutely love it. It's super user friendly. There's so much to it. Everything's in one spot and it's everything you'll need. It's going to be great for permanent makeup artists, especially because we have so much notes we have to take. So aside from that, going to be gearing up for that. And then there is kind of some big news I can't talk about too terribly much, but,
we can talk about it.
I'm going to be on an episode at a TV series, TV show docuseries. I have an episode coming up. I'm going to be shooting that September 3rd.
Nice.
And then it should come out within the next 6 months. So,
wow.
Pretty excited.
Congratulations.
Can't talk too much about all of that, but.
Right. Is it,
thank
what,
you.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's based on?
It's a
is
lot
it mostly
like this,
just
actually.
Like women in fields?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes, it's like women entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Just kind of like telling their story. And
Can you talk about what platform it may be on?
No.
Okay. Okay. So, it'll be, but you said it'll be, on video?
It is
going to
be streamable.
It'll be streamable.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It will be streaming,
very cool.
But yeah, at the moment I'm not allowed to say the, I don't know why.
Right.
Exactly. But yes.
Is it one visit?
To.
You're just going for one
yeah,
visit?
Yeah. It's just okay. A 4-hour interview.
A 4-hour?
Yeah.
Wow.
4 hours. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. It's in Miami. So me and my husband are going to make a trip out of it.
Yeah.
Very excited. I got an adults-only resort.
Okay.
We just did a trip to Colorado with our girls, and we learned that, kids don't appreciate mountains, and it almost felt like we didn't have a vacation. So
right.
We're just going to double up, and, he's coming with me. I'll do my interview, and then we'll have a few days of chilling.
Yeah, sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
On the opportunity.
Thank you.
That will be awesome for you and for your followers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excited.
So, how many followers do you have now?
I think it's close to 5K.
5K. Wow.
Yeah.
It's taken a while to build it up.
7 years. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's awesome.
Yeah. And you know what? They're all true. Followers.
Yeah.
They're all truly people.
I saw you were like, hey, I'm doing this. And
yeah.
A lot of comments, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And a
I have
lot
the best
of likes.
Clients ever. They're amazing.
They're super
supportive.
I love
supportive. My clients. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. They're all family to me. I love literally every single one of them so much. They're all amazing, supportive people. And I've connected with all of them on different levels. And they're all amazing. I love them all so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just talking to you, you're got an infectious personality, and
thank you
get this vibe that you're going to take care of what I need. You're going to identify it, and then
and
you're going
to
have
this. That's really important to me.
Yeah, you're going to have this specialized talents.
Yeah.
To take care of what's needed.
Yeah.
So I
always want a happy client. I think that's huge. I think it's almost a dying breed of people.
100%.
Sadly. Yeah.
I completely agree.
It's just try to care. Try to put yourself in their shoes and actually you know, figure out what it would feel like if you were the person in this chair right now that's about to get your face permanently tattooed.
Right.
You know, it all comes down to just like regular old, just being a good person and caring about people. And really, of course, like I want my work to always look good. I want my clients to always feel like it looks their best. And yeah, it's a huge, big, big deal to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
We're to the shout out section, which you brought a book.
Oh my gosh, I did.
You did.
You
want to make sure everybody gets shout out.
Yep.
I mean, the great thing about this podcast is we offer the shout outs.
Yeah.
And with Spotify, we can just kind of like bundle it up, send it to you in text, and then you can share it with anybody that you do a shout out with. And sometimes it's cool. Like, they didn't expect it. And it's kind of a special moment for you to kind of share with some people that made a big difference in your life and that may not know it, or maybe they know it, but they don't realize how big the impact was.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So
for sure.
That's why I like doing it. So I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Okay, so my first ones are from my very first retail job.
Okay. Dang, we're going back.
Yeah, 16, man. All right, so Lisa Reinhart and Heather Hovland. So those two girls, they taught me how to sell and how to give great customer service, how to connect with people,
awesome.
How to have fun. Like,
I love that you're shouting out.
Yeah.
Old school.
Oh, that is old school. You're right. But like, they were amazing. They were huge, huge pillars in like my
contact.
Absolutely.
With them?
Lisa, no. I never really have. I mean, I've seen her because she's, that woman will die doing retail.
Yeah.
I mean, the lady bleeds retail.
Yeah.
She's probably still doing retail somewhere.
Some people do.
But I've seen her throughout my life, yes. Every, like, 5 years. And I'm like, Lisa. She's a go-getting lady. I loved her.
That's awesome.
Heather, yes, still keep in good contact with her. She ended up moving to Dallas at the same time as me.
Good.
So we both worked for Aldo and then different companies, and she's always been a huge mentor of mine, an amazing person. I love you, Heather. My mom, obviously, she's a huge part of, I mean, what I've become and all the ways that, how can you not shout your mom out?
Especially when she's
my
like,
mom's
doing
a badass.
Nails,
yeah.
Showing you the way.
Yes, she's, I mean, you can't, like, you can't even understand, like, how hard of a worker she is, and, like, she's got such a big heart and so much love to give, and she loves her kids so much, and she puts a lot of time and energy into us, and she always has. And
now her grandkids.
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah. Grandparents are crazy. All of our grandparents. Shout out grandparents. We have three sets of grandparents. They're amazing, and I literally could not do my life without them. There's no way. Of course, my husband's amazing in like every way, and he really gives me the space I need to, you know, do my business well. And also, like, I mean, he cooks dinner every night. My husband cooks.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Shout out to
your
husband.
He's a chef. Shout out, babe.
Doing, making
the
mess.
He's an amazing cook,
too. Yeah. Congrats.
I do clean the mess, but it's worth it.
Yeah,
it's worth
for
it.
Sure.
But yeah, shout out to all the grandparents, honestly. But yeah, okay. So then I have doctors: Dr. Meads, Dr. Lowry, Dr. McCullough, Dr. Grabsky, Dr. Blazer. Those are all of basically like the doctors that I saw as like parents. They are like still really near and dear to me. I still talk to all of them really pretty regularly. Love you guys. Thank y'all so much for everything you've ever done. Olivia and Brandon. So these are my cousins. These are my crazy cousins. We call each other the black sheep of our family. We have a huge family.
I'm right there with you.
Oh, knuckles again.
Yes.
Okay. There's a lot of entrepreneurs in my family, but they are also a couple of them, and they're my hype team, or some of my hype team. My cousin Olivia opened up her business the same year as mine. Her and her husband own a window cleaning business in Katy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very successful. She grows every year. She kills it. They're killing it. Every year they just beat their last year's numbers and wonder like how the hell that happened.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, whoa, this is crazy. Like,
right.
We only dreamed of this number and now it's this number.
Yeah.
So we opened our businesses on the same year, and she's always been super, super important to me. We're like each other's like business mentors in so many ways, and
that's
hype
awesome.
Team and all the things. Same for Brandon, my cousin, their brother and sister. And they're both very driven, and they've also just been a huge part of like, go Laura, you know?
Yeah.
And then there is more clients than I could ever count. I think I mentioned them enough, but I love you guys. You guys, like, keep me going. Like, the best text messages I could ever get is just telling me how much more confident you feel, or that your husband told you you looked fly, or, you know.
Right.
Like, any of those moments in time are.
I like your boobs.
I like your boobs. I like your boobs. Yeah. They're so nice.
Yeah.
True. All true. All my clients love them all so much. And thank y'all for believing in me. And all of my besties. I've had the same group of besties since we were basically in middle school. One of us more so high school. They are my true hype team. I need them so much. I love them so much. They believe in me big time. So
good.
My sister, my little sister, was like my booking assistant is what it started out as. She has put in so many systems for me, and she's like my tech support and my tech guru of all things. She's taught me a lot as far as marketing and creating graphics and just everything. She's amazing. She's a social media marketer director, something like that, for like a worldwide crypto company. So
wow.
She's killing it.
Great,
she deserves
for her.
It. And
yeah.
I wish she would come back and work for me, but I can't afford her anymore.
No.
Very sad about it. Then, of course, my husband, he's always my biggest cheerleader. He has literally sat on the back patio with me having drinks, just chilling for these last 7 years and just telling me how proud he is. And
yeah,
that is
great.
Amazing. And he feeds me very well.
Yeah.
Shout out hubby. And then, of course, I wanted to say, too, one of my best friends, her and her husband have been huge business mentors to me,
mm-hmm.
Which they are both entrepreneurs as well. She owns Miranda Ayla Design. She does 3D rendering. She does architectural design, basically.
Awesome.
And she's
yeah.
killing it. I mean, she's got a wait list. She's killing it. Her husband, Jacob, is a CPA. He actually doesn't take new clients, but I will tell you, you will wish he was your CPA because
right.
he's the bomb.
Yeah.
And they're both just really business-minded, amazing people, work smarter, not harder kind of people, and which is really different for me because I'm balls to the walls, let me just work myself into the ground sometimes. And they have really helped me to
take a breath.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, be like, whoa, step back, Laura. Let's not
yeah.
do that. And of course, my baby girls, they're the reason I do everything I do. So shout out to my girlies. I don't want to say their names because that's like, I don't know, kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'm not
know.
Sure. But I love you girls. Y'all are my angels. And
yeah.
I hope I make you proud.
You do. Come
that's
on.
That's it. That's my
well,
book.
I mean, I've
it
never had anybody bring a book.
It's not a real book. It's two pieces of paper, guys.
Right.
It's like tiny paper.
All right. Well, I feel obligated to do at least one shout out.
Please do.
I've had a number of mentors. My current boss is a great mentor. I love him. Love working for him. Great guy. My first mentor was like the guy who kind of trailblazed who I was going to be.
Aww.
His name's Chick Lehan. Shout out to Chick. He's you know, still
Chick
keep,
is such a cool name.
Yeah, great name. And just a cool guy.
Yeah.
We have a lot of good, great stories. I'm not going to bore you with that, but
we got to do dinner with you and your wife.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just such a, like, nostalgic kind of figure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost, like, not a dad figure, but, like, somebody that you're just like, damn, that guy is what
oh,
I want to be.
Shout out to my stepdad.
Yeah,
what's wrong with me?
Stepdad,
he's really
dude.
My dad.
Yeah.
He's the best dad. He's the only dad I've ever
but
really
Chick
truly
is not
had.
Your stepdad.
Chick
just,
is not my stepdad. No, Tony, I love you,
yeah,
Tony Brookshire.
Yes.
I can't believe I didn't say that.
Yeah, well,
that
you did. You
is,
thought about it. It's good enough.
Damn it.
It's good enough.
He's my biggest
stop being hard on
too.
Yourself.
I love that,
yeah.
man.
He, but anyway,
man,
you did yes. make a shout out during my shout out. But
you reminded me of him when you were doing your shout out.
Chick's a great guy. If you saw Chick, you'd be like, dude's got it together.
Yeah.
You fit. Him and his wife travel all over
wow.
the place. Like,
it's like doing yoga
just
at 4:30.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, just cool ass
yeah.
mofo.
Nice.
And a great guy to know and a great guy to have as a mentor and
aww.
Set you on your path as a 20-something-year-old.
There you
like,
go.
Like, how else? The best of the best.
You still talk to him regularly?
Well, I mean, it's, enough. And then, luckily, like I said, I mean, I'm in my late 40s now, and I have a great mentor and a boss now that's, like, I can't envision myself working for anybody else.
Yeah.
And so they say, you know, people mostly leave jobs because of their manager
totally.
And they stay because of their manager and I, no doubt about it
100%.
Like there's challenges in my job that I would be like hell no I could do something else but
right.
he's one of the core reasons why I love what I do.
Well he's probably
just,
awesome
no doubt about it
yeah
you know and so it's fun doing what I'm doing because I report to somebody like him. So,
cool. Yeah. Shout out, boss.
Yes, for sure.
That's awesome.
Had a lot of fun. It was a blast. Did you have fun?
I had so much fun.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, it's not as nervy as you thought.
No.
But if we had a live audience, maybe a little
probably
more nervy.
More.
Yeah.
This has been very chill.
Yeah. Good. Good.
Very chill.
I'm glad you had a good time.
Cool room. Cool place.
Yeah,
cool bartender.
Sure.
Great drinks.
Yes. The Beckham. Shout out to
the Beckham.
Yeah.
What?
Great place. Home to us. All right. Thanks so much for listening in for temporarily, then YouTube here in a couple weeks. Our next guest is the mayor of Lyndale. So we're going to dabble in some politics, but I've been a good friend of Gavin's for a while, and I'm sure we're going to talk a little bit about whiskey too and our connection prior to him assuming that role. So I look forward to that conversation. We'll see you soon. Thanks so much. All right. Did you have a good time?
That was so cool.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah?
This is fun. I want to do a podcast.